traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You've said it twice now that humans look at animals as lesser than them. Like, yo, when I see a squirrel outside, I'm sorry. I am superior to that squirrel.
In what way?
Do you believe that or no?
Well, in what way?
My life is more valuable than the squirrel's life. Do you believe that?
I believe to you it is. I believe to the squirrel, the squirrel's life is more valuable.
True. The squirrel, though, did not found a civilization.
Neither did you.
I'm a human. Humankind.
You didn't do that shit, though.
I did not do my my ancestors did. And their ancestors.
Okay.
What was that? Did you just bark?
Yeah, you all right? No, what was that? I do want to.
It sounded like Pearl.
The word is this, and we don't use this word much in society anymore, but it's called a belch. It's a burp that has very long reach.
That's incredible. Yeah. Welcome back to Impulsive, by the way.
Oh, shit.
The number one podcast the world. Oh, yo, I came up with this thing.
What do you got?
I think I should say that cooler from now on. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, subscribing.
Incredible.
Wherever you do so, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify. I don't really give a fuck. As long as you're watching, hit that button. That subscribe button. Leave your feedback. We love hearing it. We do an audio-only Q&A with the guest after the show is over. I feel like a broken record saying this every time. It's the second podcast of the day. We did extreme goat yoga this morning, and I sat in an oxygen chamber so I could fix my brain, my prefrontal cortex, so I could feel empathy.
I thought you were supposed to sleep in it. You're just like doing sessions in it?
Yeah, 80 hours. I go 1 hour.
What's it
every
been
morning.
Like? Do you find it?
And so also, like, I just addressed this on Twitter. You were in the video. Dude, some people are saying the brain scan's fake and they're like comparing it next to an image that's like very clearly different, but also it's a brain scan. So it's like brains look similar. Anyways, I just addressed it. I didn't want to address it, but to everyone doubting the scan,
who are the
suck a cock, suck a big fat cock.
I asked him, I said, why do you even fucking respond? Like, the thing about me is, like, you saw these people reach out to me on Twitter sometimes and they say, Mike, when are you going to start listening to the feedback from us on the YouTube videos? And when you do this on the podcast, I say, quite literally, don't give a fuck. So I'm not going to ever listen to it.
Just because, bro, like, look.
I don't give a shit, bro.
Being a Twitter headline is dope. But I'm kind of over it for scandals and controversies. I don't want to do it anymore.
So it made it up to a headline?
No.
Or it was on the way?
Yo, if it made it up to a headline, I would fucking flip. I'd lose my shit. Mm. Fake a brain scan? Yo, the dude who did my brain scan is a legitimate doctor who will lose his job if he fakes a brain scan for some fucking YouTuber. Suck a cock. I need my charger, bro. My laptop's about to die.
Fucking morons, dude. I swear to God.
No, listen. It's all fun. It's all good energy.
You got it, bro.
And also, like, I feel bad coming in here. So
hot.
Negatively charged because we got a great guest today. I'm on his website right now. It says, be kind whenever possible. And it's always possible. It's a quote from the Dalai Lama. But still, bro, he embodies kindness. It's the guy, bro. He's so dope. He's super dope. I want to introduce some guys. He is an animal rights activist. He's a plant-based Australian super vegan.
Is that a thing?
And he took a vow of silence for 1 year, actually. And then started professionally yodeling after, which was an interesting choice. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen,
it's a swerve.
It's James Aspie.
Hey, can you roll those sound effects of the audience clapping that we never fucking got? Thanks, bro. Appreciate it.
And the yodeling.
And the yodeling.
You didn't yodel. I just don't know that. No, I don't. Oh. Can you imagine you go from not talking for an entire year to yodeling?
First things first, man. Let's yodel.
Have you ever yodeled?
I don't think I have.
I think I have a couple.
Yodelay.
That was pretty good.
You sound like you have before, good. Man.
Yeah, I think you could do it.
Thanks, Ramsey experience. Over here.
Hey, how you doing, bro? Here, you got an accent. You're not from around here.
Yeah, man. I'm from Australia, and I appreciate having me on. Thanks, brother.
Of course, dude. Of course. Thank you for coming on. So I Googled your name. What's this I see about the vegan activist James Aspie running for parliament?
Yeah.
Animal rights activist James Aspie plans to win Australian election.
That's some new shit.
What? Are you a politician guy?
The Animal Justice Party in Australia reached out to me and they said I might be able to help them out if I be a candidate and get, you know, if I get elected in my electorate, then the people who are really going to get in there and make some changes can do that. So I'm just helping them out.
Are you doing it?
I'm doing that part of it.
You're going for it.
I'll do whatever I can, man. That's one small thing I can do. So let's go.
I see you were brought up in plant-based news. That's a interesting
plant-based news.
It's an interesting publication.
That's a good one, man. They do a thing every year. Vegan 2018, vegan 2017, all the big highlights of the year, what's going on in the plant-based vegan animal rights world. And it's always interesting, man. Big stuff happens.
So, yo, there's a lot of talk about with you. You've done a lot of stuff, even like on your website here, for example, like I took a 365 day vow of silence to raise awareness and for animals and promote peace over violence. I want to talk about that. It says here you cycled 5,000 kilometers, got tattooed for 25 hours. You've given over 150 speeches. You do a lot of shit.
I'm getting busy, man. Yeah.
But this vow of silence. Mm. How can you make 150 speeches while you're silent?
I'm really good at body language.
You're lying, brother. I bet by now you are, yeah?
Yeah, I got real good, man. I'm the charades expert around here.
You didn't speak for an entire year?
I'll be honest with you. Yes, I did not, man. But a few words slipped out about 5 times, really? Just by accident. But
what were the words?
I was listening.
Fuck, shit, bitch.
Some shit like that. I don't even remember, man. They were just random words that, you know, they just went out before I could catch them. But yeah, man, I did a whole year deliberately not.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Speaking and nothing deliberate came out.
I want to quickly test your language. You say you're really good with body language. tell me you want me to turn the lights off. That's pretty good.
Something
that's
like
pretty
that, man.
Good.
That is great.
That's
wait, this is a fun game.
That's pretty good.
How do you ask a girl if she's down to smash?
Wait, that looked like you were trying to have sex with a baby, to be quite honest with you.
It's not a perfect science, man.
Okay. I see.
No,
it's see what's
it's
going
not,
on.
It's really not a perfect science.
He didn't label the 200 arrests that took place.
No, but that's, I mean,
you can't put it all on the side, man.
whenever I'm sick and I can't speak and my voice is not up to par, I'm not gonna lie, dude, I feel powerless. I feel like I can't do anything.
Well, that was the point, man, because the animals who I was doing a vow of silence for, they're basically voiceless as well. I mean, actually not so much because they have a voice. They're speaking in their own languages. A pig, for example, as you guys probably know, you hear all them grunts. With their body language included and the sounds they make, they saying 80 different things that we're aware of. So they're speaking, but the problem is it's falling on deaf ears. Their screams, their cries. We don't actually hear it. We don't pay attention to it because we view them as so much less than us that it just doesn't really register that it's something we should actually care about. And that's due to a lot of conditioning and brainwashing for us to believe in this form of discrimination that some lives matter more than others.
So not to disagree with you, and I don't want this to be taken out of context or the wrong way, but there's a lot of people, especially I know where I came from, the flyover states, middle America, who would argue that pigs are indeed less than us. You would testify otherwise.
Well, I mean, in many ways, you know, look at what we've done, man. We're very sophisticated and we're incredible, an incredible species, one of millions though. And what we have in common is what I'm talking about. We all have a heart. We all have a brain. We all feel pain, suffer, want to live, don't want to die. If I stab you in the throat, it feels the same as if I stab a dog or a dolphin or a whale or a pig in the throat. So yeah, in some ways, of course, we're superior. And in some ways, different animals are superior when it comes to, you know, different things in the way how they can communicate over miles, or they you know, the way that they can find a position in the world that they return to after years of not being there, in just different ways. So, but obviously, yeah, what we do is incredible, but it doesn't justify us enslaving them, breeding them into existence for the sole purpose of killing them so we can harvest the meat from their bodies or their eggs or their milk.
Is there any world that you see that as being an okay thing to do?
In a world where it's necessary. And I wouldn't say that it's okay. I would say a necessary evil, you know, it ain't good, but it's necessary. But we're not cavemen anymore. We've evolved to a point where we no longer need to kill and eat other beings to survive and thrive. We've got the science behind us. We've got the technology behind us. We've got the access to these delicious plant-based foods right here. So, and it goes further than that. Now we can get meat that is made from plants. It tastes the same. That's healthier, better for the planet. No one needed to get their throat slit for that.
You had the those Impossible Burgers. Yeah,
I love the burgers, man. And they got Impossible 2.0 now, which is supposed to be even better.
Motherfucker. We actually had them.
It's Impossible.
We all had them here.
What'd you think of that?
They're great.
They're great. Good. They're
Evan, fantastic. Evan here, who hates alternative burgers, when he bit it, he had no idea.
Mm. I was eating even know the difference. I was eating them left and right.
Yeah, they're good, man.
I have a question for you. I think a lot of times we bring guests on the show that are radically right or left or radically vegan or not vegan. Yeah. And I try to remain somewhat in the middle. And so my question, I guess one of my questions to you is there a step we can take as a society before we try to take this large leap of turning people vegan or getting people to live this plant-based diet? I, for one, believe there's large steps we can take in the humane slaughter practice. Okay. And I think we're not doing enough. And I hope it gets better, but I've seen some horror stories coming out of slaughterhouses in America, just absolutely terrible. And, do you think that there's more credibility or warrant in a movement to kind of change that than to get people to start eating plants only? Because it's such a leap.
It seems like such a leap, and I totally understand that, because for 26 years of my life, I was eating just as much meat as anybody.
You sick fuck.
I know, I'm a fucking monster, man. I know. But I think that what you're asking for is something that can't exist, a humane way to enslave, a humane Holocaust, a humane murder. I don't think those things exist. So I don't think you can use the word humane, which means to show compassion, when we're talking about taking the lives of sentient beings who do not want to die. So I don't think that's a good way to do it. Is that an approach? Is that a step we can take to reduce their suffering on the way to abolishing animal slavery? Potentially, yes. That just in purely in terms of strategy, that could be one route to take. It seems like a very big deal for people to go vegan overnight. Okay, so why don't you try taking this step and going vegetarian first? Or maybe in the meantime, we can make bigger cages or kill them in a way that they don't feel it as much. But a lesser of two evils is still evil, man. And we shouldn't be looking for the right way to do the wrong thing. So I think that although that's a possibility, something we could work towards, ultimately the goal should be, let's end the Holocaust. Let's end the animal Holocaust. Let's end all animal slavery. I don't think we should be doing this thing. Like I said, it comes back to necessity. When we know that we can get every single essential nutrient we need from a plant-based diet and a B12 supplement, and that's all we need to get it all.
You think that's realistic?
I do, man. I think it's actually the only realistic way to go, because currently we're wasting 16 times more land, 13 times more water, 11 times more oil. We're producing 50 times more greenhouse gas emissions. We are killing ourselves. You know, one in four people die in a heart disease the number one killer. The only diet proven to reverse heart disease in the majority of patients is a plant-based diet. People are getting diabetes, they're getting different cancers, all these things where it's the only way forward, I believe. And, you know, I'm not just, that's just not just me saying that. That's United Nations. That's some of the largest environmental protection organizations on the planet. So I think that if we want to move forward, this is going to be the way to do it. Do I think everybody's going to go vegan overnight? Nah, I didn't even do that. Most vegans went vegetarian first or did something or took some steps, but we can all take some steps and we have an obligation, a moral obligation to do better once we know better. Most people don't know better. They think they need to eat animals to survive. They think that they're not going to be able to enjoy vegan food. They have no idea what to cook. They think they can't afford it. But all of those things, you know, there's a way and it's cheaper and healthier and easier. And the millions of recipes at our fingertips. So I think it's very cheaper.
Cheaper and easier were two that stuck out to me.
That could not be more false.
To us. And
No.
I mean, you could lead this one, I'm sure.
I'm just saying, like, it's not cheaper.
Well,
it's definitely not.
Let me explain what I mean. Okay, so aside from the fact that you're probably going to be able to do more days at work and have less sick days, you're probably going to not have to be on the table getting your chest cut open and have surgeries and pay for all these medical bills because you're reducing your chances of getting many diseases.
Okay.
Aside from that, that's just an added point.
Yeah. Well, I also think too, from a like a cost perspective, that like we live with a chef. She's cooking high end vegan meals. Like on a baseline, beans and rice, brown rice, quinoa, exactly. Like the things that give you all your essential aminos and nutrients, extremely cheap.
Sweet potatoes,
oats.
I could be coerced to give you cheaper. I will never admit easier.
All right.
Ever. And mind you, Spencer's a vegan. So it's like the non-vegans versus vegans right now. Yeah, and by the way, I used to be vegan. Andre's a vegan too.
I used to be vegan.
I did 4 months last year in the first month of this year. Well, 26 days.
Yeah,
I did it with
good stuff.
Well.
Yeah, the house went vegan. Yep.
Cool. Joe, for the month. Pulling up some stats on that just real quick. For 4 months of you being vegan, you saved 132,000 gallons of water, 3,600 square feet of forest, 120 animal lives, and 2,400 pounds of CO2.
For how long was that?
For 4 months.
For 4 months. I have so many questions. I'm gonna try to keep them in line with the conversation. I guess one of them I've talked to Spencer a lot about is I think there are a lot of people out there who automatically see vegan research and they say, no, that's not true. No, that's not true. I have a very different approach. My response is, I don't know if I believe that.
That's
because
fair.
The thing about veganism, and it is, even if it's been around for 30 years, is 40, 50, 100, as far as I'm concerned, the research on it and the true wave that we're on right now has been around for 10 years. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's a new thing. People just started talking about it, just started really, really digging into it. So I don't know what the heart disease of a bean eater is going to look like in 40 years. I don't know what the heart disease of a just a rice and starch and bean and potato eater is going to look like, you know? And so I am wide open to listening to the argument, but I'm also very reluctant to just trade over on it.
Of course.
And I instead want to rely on just what I've found, which is an incredibly inconvenient diet that I can never find a place to eat. If I'm at an airport and I'm eating vegan, I'm just going to eat a granola bar because that's all I got. That's it.
Airports can be challenging.
All right. That could be pretty expensive unless you want to just eat, you know, bodega beans and rice. And also, unless you're really willing to put in the work to eat a lot of fucking food, you're going to lose mass, muscle, and a lot of other bodily functions you've become used to, right? I shit 15 times a day while I'm speaking. Literally 15 times a day.
Cool.
And so basing it strictly on what I've seen and dealt with myself, I'm still reluctant.
I hear you, man. That's the smartest place to be. I didn't learn all this shit and go, okay, that must be solid. It's a different argument to what I've heard before. So of course I'm going to straight away listen to it. Nah. Yeah. You know, I didn't pay attention to what I'd heard. I watched documentaries, and that as well isn't something you just take for face value. But you don't need to be, you don't need a lot of papers and studies to look around and see what's going on in our society of meat, dairy, and egg eaters. People are dying all over the place, man, and it's an epidemic what's happening and things are getting worse. What we have in terms of studies is the Blue Zone studies, which have been going for a very long time. The largest study ever conducted on the relationship between nutrition and disease, which is the China study, which spanned for decades, which included thousands and thousands of participants. The bottom line of that study was that the optimal amount of animal products in the human diet is zero, and the optimal diet for human health is whole foods, plant-based diet, a vegan diet. In terms of inconvenience, at times it can be inconvenient. There's no doubt about it. We're trying to eat a plant-based diet in a world where every single country is, you know, making food off the backs of animals. But it can definitely be done. I travel all over the world doing it. You know, yesterday I scored a really good meal. It was big basic quinoa, veggies, and some rocket lettuce. It wasn't the perfect meal in terms of, you know, what I would have enjoyed to cook. But for an airport, it was good. When you go to Mexican places, any Mexican place, instead of getting meat, you get beans. Instead of getting sour cream and cheese, get guacamole.
Plantains, there's all that. All that's,
you know, any Thai place, just switch the meat for tofu, switch the dairy for coconut milk, and you're still having stir fries, you're still having curries. Indian is super easy because most of them are vegetarians anyway. And in terms of eating a whole lot of food, you definitely want to make sure you are eating a lot of food. But you know, it doesn't have to be a crazy amount. If you're trying to put on size, we've still got pea protein, we've got rice protein, we've got different protein powders that have just as much protein as what you're used to, except we don't have the whey. We don't have the whey in there, which, you know, is it comes with the queso morphins, it comes with the animal protein and the, you know, the things basically that we're trying to avoid. In animal products, we have cholesterol, we have the much higher rates of saturated fat, about 95% more saturated fat. We have both of these things that lead to some of the biggest diseases we're faced with. Yep. We can avoid all that by just eating a plant-based diet. And, you know, at times, yeah, when it is convenient, when it's inconvenient, it sucks. But I guess for me, I just got to a point where there was times where I was still eating animal products. I'm like, oh, that's going to get thrown away anyway. Fuck it. I'm just going to have it. But then I got to a point where I was like, you know, I don't want to condone this in any way. This is so far out of alignment with who I am. As I would never go around stabbing animals, man, or anybody. And when I started seeing animals as somebodies, as individuals with their own experience, very, very similar to ours, it just became a no-brainer. So even if the food was going to get thrown out, I thought, good, it should be thrown out. This is trash. This doesn't belong in our bodies, man. This doesn't belong in our temples. This is products of violence, products of suffering. The stress is in there. All that shit is in there. On top of that, it's killing us. So, you know, I just found ways around it. And there's a lot of apps like the Happy Cow app. It tells you all the vegan restaurants in your area, wherever you're at. There's ways to do it, man. So I guess, you know, you just started out and you don't figure all that shit out straight away. But over time you learn, okay, when I go to Mexican, I can have this. When I'm in an area, I can check this app. And, you know, that you just figure it out. Yeah. And yeah, no one's perfect overnight. And I'm still figuring shit out almost 6 years on, but it's a journey that's worth walking, man. And every step, you know, of you being a little better adds more light to the world, reduces suffering in this world. Spencer just said that you, in 4 months, was that 130 less animals or something like that?
120
less animals, man. You know, people eat thousands of beings, thousands of people, non-human people in their life. That is a big deal, man. It's a huge stain on our otherwise civilized society and something that, you know, most people don't even see. We don't see that this piece of meat is actually from a victim of the longest standing Holocaust that has ever happened. And they don't see that they're chowing into the body parts of a murder victim. And that's how I see it now.
That's terrifying. You make me feel like an asshole.
I don't mean to. I don't mean to, man. I don't think you are an asshole. I don't think any meat eater.
Are you using scare tactics?
I'm using every tactic I've got, brother.
Well, I mean, also, mind you, bro, you're talking to like an ex-vegan. Like, 4 months is a long time to be vegan.
Congrats.
What was the study you referenced that they said the healthiest diet is a plant-based diet?
One of them is the China study. The other is the Blue Zone studies. And they're just checking out the population. The Blue Zone studies is checking out the populations of the world that have the longest life.
Okinawa, right? They were the longest living.
Yeah, and some of them, mostly plant-based.
I'm going to say something.
I'm gonna get shit on by the vegan community.
We're gonna fuck you up, man. We're ruthless, you know that.
I know. Y'all are ruthless, bro. But I've been shit on before, and
let's go.
I'll get shit on again. No, they know. The reason I stopped being vegan was because I was unhealthy.
Tell me.
I was unhealthy. I was the lightest I had been since I intentionally cut weight for this movie I did called The Thinning, where I was yoked out of my fucking mind. I did like a week juice cleanse, and I was 182. I was 182 pounds when I shot this movie. Had to literally just pick my legs up out of bed to move. I had no strength. And when I was vegan, working out, you know, 4 hours a day on your 8 to 10,000 calorie a day diet, had nutritionists, had all the supplements I needed, like was private chef. I was doing everything right. I got down to 184. I could not I could not maintain weight. I was losing weight.
Was that log picture when you were vegan still?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Can you pull that up?
Yeah.
Let's give it a gander. So well,
I just don't want to mistake looking good with feeling good.
I want to preface the fact that
how did you feel,
man? 100%.
How did you feel aside from Lane? Tell me, what do you mean?
My friend George sat me down and he goes, yo, I need to ask you something. And like this is kind of sensitive. Are you depressed? And no one has ever asked me that in my life.
Wow.
No one has ever asked me that in my life. And I go, no, I'm not depressed. Like, what do you mean? This is the picture Spencer was referencing. This is when I was vegan. So yeah, like, okay, look good.
You look shit.
For sure. Look, I look dope.
Yeah, you're looking good, man.
Thanks, bro. But he sat me down and asked
me. Abs literally have abs.
I guess when you pull all the fat and everything off your body, that's what's left right before the skeleton. Yeah, no.
You're like still, that's just you're
that. Still, let me finish. Yo, let me finish.
You're vegan though, and you're still carrying trees,
bro. Let me finish. So yeah, and I'm like, no, yo, I'm not depressed. He goes, well, I've never seen this version of Logan Paul. Wow. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, right. And I don't know if it's because you're vegan. I'm like, of course it's not because I'm vegan. Whatever.
Yeah.
So I had to stop being vegan about a month before the fight. Uh-huh. It was not in a good place mentally, physically, whatever. For sure. So. That was the first time I was like, okay, I tried it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not for me. No big deal.
Yep.
January comes around. Here we are again. Yo, let's go vegan for a month.
Cool.
25 days in, fucking depressed.
I'm seeing him losing sleeping weight. Like in the day.
I'm sleeping I've 12 never hours
seen, like,
a day.
I'll see him just like in bed during the day. And I'm like, hey man, like what's going on? Yeah. Like you want to like get up, go outside and shit for a little bit. And he's like, no, I don't really feel like doing much, man. Like and so the same thing that George said about him, like I noticed as well. Like he wasn't getting out of bed. He was just, and all he would ever say to me was, I just want something that makes me feel whole. Like I'm missing something in my diet, and I know it's because I'm all not right. eating meat.
I hear you. Can I respond?
Yes, please.
All right. That's interesting, man. So I'll just start by saying that I've spoke to literally thousands and thousands of vegans now over the years, and a common theme with 99.9% of them is that going vegan is one of the best things they've ever done in terms of how they feel ethically, but also in their body, man. So there are always going to be certain people for whatever reason that it might not work for them, but that isn't necessarily because they started eating a plant-based diet. You mentioned you were training 4 hours a day. You do this big diet switch. You know, I've spoke to a doctor about this, that about people who don't feel good initially. And he said,
felt great initially.
Okay, cool.
First month was cake.
I'd say, yeah, that's cool. I'd say 4 months is still pretty initial. And that it can take time for your body to learn how to assimilate the nutrients and vitamins from plant foods that you were once getting from the meat, things like that. When in that month of January, I don't know, man. I don't know what you were doing. I don't know why you felt that way. I wish I could give you a better answer. All that I can say though is that meat is like an addiction. And you know, when you come off drugs or any addiction, there can be feelings of not feeling whole or not feeling, you know, whatever.
You've
been eating this way your entire life and you start trying to eat a different way. It can be cravings. It can be the literal chemicals and hormones and shit like that is in the food today, no doubt about it. So I don't know if it was maybe something a little more like that, but all I know is this, that there are millions and millions of vegans, including high level athletes, world record holding strongman, Mr. Universe of a few years ago, UFC fighters, NFL players.
Not many UFC fighters. Not many NFL players.
There's still some though. There's
one or two.
Nah, well, whatever it is, there's not that many vegans out there. So comparatively, to have a small amount of the population that are vegan, who are also some of them becoming world record holding strongmen or elite athletes in some of the most physically demanding sports, I think that's saying something. I don't know if you were doing it right. I don't know if you're getting everything. I don't know if your nutritionist knew their shit. I don't know, man. Maybe it was something totally unrelated. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, do you have any? You live with me. You went through all
this.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, without getting too deep, like that was a time of the year where there was a way more emotional different, an emotionally different state.
True.
Yeah.
True.
You know, so that could have something to do with it. But the thing I always revert back to is like when we went into the nutritionist, they never said any of your levels were like, yo, you're unhealthy. Like you checked as a perfectly healthy human.
He checked me out. He said I had every level was correct, but also like,
so I think it's something like it could be that switch. Like what you were saying, cause it is very well known that in order to process meats, like we need certain parasites in our body and different things to break them down. So when you go vegan, those things have to flush out and those things aren't, they're not getting the same nutrients like you were talking about.
It can take some time.
So many different things.
I guess I'll say this as well. You know, people don't always quit cigarettes first go and they don't always feel good doing it. You know, sometimes like, fuck yeah, I quit ciggies, man. I'm feeling good. Other times it's hell. And you know, I don't know, man.
Mind you, I'm going back. I'm gonna be. I don't know when. I don't know when, but gonna give it a third chance. I'm gonna
sweet.
Try to do it something
since what?
I mean, from what?
You hated it, bro.
I hated it.
Why did you hate it though? What? Because you just said to me that you were, apart from when you started feeling bad, initially you were feeling good. You were enjoying the Impossible Burgers. Yeah. You're still training 4 hours a day. So
not in January.
Oh, okay.
Not
okay.
In
January. Cool.
Here's why I hated it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like being depressed and sleeping 12 hours a day.
No doubt. Nobody does.
Number two, we were traveling.
That's not a common side effect though. But okay, go on.
When we were traveling or going anywhere, the inconvenience that I was for people was simply too much for me to handle. I want everyone to be happy and fucking assimilate and do their thing.
I understand that. I think that there's a way to do it that you are not inconveniencing people so much. Like, I understand that, you know, it's can be socially awkward at times to be like, oh, that looks good, but for this ethical reason, I think you're a piece of shit, but that's not what you actually mean, but that's what they're hearing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I don't eat that food because ethical reasons. And they're like, oh, you think you're better than me? What do you think this is, sort of thing? I think that you find ways to just be, people know you or you bring your own shit or they just accommodate because they know that you're serious about this thing.
Yeah.
And man, like I don't know a lot about you if I'm honest, brother, but from what I do know, you know, you're a guy who's trying to do good shit and you're a good hearted person. And ultimately, you know, there's a way to find out, you can find a way to do it. But I think when you've got the motivation, because you really are aware that you will be living in alignment more with who you really are, man. Like what you're contributing to when you pay for meat, dairy, or eggs is so fucking far from an act of love or kindness or respect. It is literally the opposite direction. We treat those animals, you know, worse than your worst nightmare doesn't even come close. And so when you really understand that this is such a bad act, such a cruel, violent act, something that you would never actually contribute to yourself or pay for it to happen. If you really understood the whole picture, when you really get it and you've seen this footage and you've heard those screams and you've looked these innocent beings in their eyes, just like Pearl, man, when you look her in the eyes and you realize
Pearl being my pig.
Yeah. It's not just, you know, about loving dogs and loving dolphins and loving other humans. It's about extending your circle of compassion to embrace all beings.
See, I didn't have that, what you just described, energy fueling me. I was being fueled by like, oh, I'll try it because I like to try things because I want to experience everything, you know. But maybe one day I will shift.
I have a question.
Yeah, I wanted to dive in and
this
No, not yet. You go first.
I just have a quick question around kind of like the newness of things too. And I want to go back to the past, you know, couple thousand years or few thousand years of time and how, and I'm sure you've got combat for this as well, but you know, we as a human species have eaten meat. We were, in my eyes, we're given large chomping teeth and canines to tear through flesh, right, for protein. And On another note, when I look at the people who probably want to live the longest in this world, the billionaires, with the beautiful boats and models and everything, they're all still eating meat, right? And so,
and they're not living the longest, and
maybe they're not living the longest. But what is it that this small swell of people knows that no one else knows, that the thousands of years worth of civilizations before us didn't know? And like, what is it that gives you guys this assurance that you guys know something that no one else does or no one else did?
Yeah, yeah, I hear where you're coming from, man. I mean, it isn't as new as you might think. A lot of old, you know, wise people were talking this way about extending our circle of compassion to all beings. That's actually an Einstein
quote. Keep that up.
Leonardo da Vinci spoke about it. Gandhi, many other people spoke about animal rights just being a logical progression from human rights. You know, there's actually no there's no characteristic that separates us from them that justifies enslaving them, but not each other. So if we're all going to agree that enslaving each other is wrong, we should extend that to other sentient beings who would also have a problem with that. If you look at the situation from the victim's point of view, it becomes very easy to see that things like humane slaughter and all that kind of thing don't make any sense. Now, yes, we have been eating meat for thousands and thousands of years. We've been going to war for thousands of years. People have been getting raped. Children are getting abused. We've been murdering each other. The length of time that something's been happening does not make it ethical or not, or something we should continue. And when it comes to what do we know that's different? What we know now, and what I learned when I was 26, is that we can live and thrive without animal products. That's something we didn't know for sure before. We had ideas. There were certain examples. But now we have science that's caught up, that's really solidified this as fact and proven to us that, yes, we can get everything we need from a plant-based diet. So I think that's one of the biggest things, man. Because before, I did not give a shit. When I saw footage of animals get slaughtered, I was like, cool, you want me to feel guilty about that? I'm human. I need to eat animals to survive. But after understanding that actually we don't, watching that footage again and seeing these animals get stabbed and pushed into gas chambers and electrocuted to death, I was like, okay, if we don't need to do this to be healthy, what are we doing this for? Because they taste good.
What about people that just want to eat meat and they just literally just don't care?
That's,
they want their steak.
The flyover states like middle America. Oh, especially.
And for sure. Look, but man, I also don't think that I don't think it's absent from the coastlines either.
No,
it's everywhere.
You've got bankers on Wall Street.
The best thing.
That want to go get their A10 Wagyu.
For sure.
Or Kobe, and they want to sit down and they want to chomp into an $800 steak.
For sure.
And they don't give a fuck if you give them 2 extra years on the end of their life because they're going to be 92 years old anyway, so they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So what do you say to those people? I mean, is it too far gone at that point?
I think nobody's too far gone. You never know who's going to change. I've seen slaughterhouse workers go vegan, hunters go vegan. Anybody can just make that connection. It's reconnecting. We have that connection when we're children. We love animals. We don't want to hurt animals. They're our best friends. They're the main characters of all our favorite stories. It's taken from us. We're taught, no, these animals pat, these animals kill. And it's a selective compassion. And I really do believe it's a form of brainwashing that is inside our culture right
Indoctrination,
now. Indoctrination. 100%, man. Yeah. We're taught we need meat for protein, which basically means if you don't eat meat, you're going to die. That's kind of how people interpret it. And people like that, it's hard because, you know, you try to get them to connect to an animal. They might even not connect to empathy for other humans.
Each other, yeah.
Exactly. Like, you know what it is? There's racism still around. There's sexism still around. This is called speciesism. You know, it's a very similar thing. Mm-hmm. White people thought they were superior to black people. They enslaved them. They made them.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Do what they wanted. men did the same with women, and humans do the same with many other species. What do you do about it? I just hope that, you know, where we're going environmentally, from what I've heard, if you believe the United Nations and these big environmental organizations, they're saying that we have to do this. We have to go plant-based. And luckily, don't worry, you can still have meat. We just got vegan meat. Tastes the same. You're not even going to notice a difference. We'll put it in the meat section for you. And I guess that's what they're going to end up just eating. Can I actually convince this person? No, you are vegan at heart. Ethically, this is what you should do to live in alignment with who you are. And you're going to feel so much better. It's the right thing for you to do. I'm probably not going to be able to convince them that way. Maybe not the health way either. So I hope that just the food, you know, just overtakes. And it just doesn't make sense for people. You've got meat that is a corpse from an animal who suffered and screamed, that destroys the planet, that kills our health. And then you've got this plant-based meat that tastes the same, looks the same, smells the same, is at least comparably priced, potentially even cheaper, better for the environment. Why would people still choose this other one if it's right there? And that's what we're starting to see now, this big influx of plant-based products that are just, it just would make more sense to choose them for everybody, even those people who are so obsessed with meat. We're also working on cell-grown meat.
I was going to go there eventually, but you just hit it. And I think that is the solution. So I spent time over two summers ago with one of the leading cell growth experts on creating meat in laboratories. And so I have this conversation with you openly and, you know, for almost for fun, because I think that within the next 10 to 20 years, we're going to have this solved through laboratory grown meat.
Me too, man. And look, I think that that's good and bad. Like, I'm so happy about that for all the, like, we kill 8 billion animals every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's 74 billion land animals a year and 2.7 trillion sea animals a year. They feel pain too, all those animals. They're just in the water.
Did you say 2.7 trillion?
Yeah, man.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Holy fuck. That's an estimate,
You know how many sharks it is a year? This is just a fun fact on a specific animal.
Yeah, it's scary.
100 million.
Right.
Which is crazy when I first heard
for
that.
A lot of it's for shark fin.
Yeah.
Soup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the sad part about
and
like-
And bycatch. Yeah. Bycatch from salmon and tuna and things like that. Mm. I'm so stoked on lab-grown meat, man. That is going to change the game. And I couldn't be more happy about it. I couldn't support it more. You know, if we can get meat that is exactly steak, but no one had to die and suffer from it, fuck yeah, let's go.
That's tight, bro.
That's the shit. Crazy. But what I really want also is people to connect, man, to reconnect to their compassion for other beings, even if they look different. Because I think that's a really big missing piece of our culture right now, where we look at them as less than us, even though they're not necessarily in the ways that matter. And I think that this can be also the start of discrimination in other areas. Like, imagine if you're born into a family that teaches you that we don't even take honey from bees because that's their food. And we don't take the milk from the cows because that's for the calves, that's for the baby cows. And we respect all animals. And you're born into this. How much harder is it going to be for you to grow up and be racist when you already see beings that look so different from you as your equal on many levels? It's going to be a lot harder.
There's big studies coming out right now that are showing that the first disconnect, the true disconnect, is knowing that the dog you pet and the pig you eat. Because if you go to the other side of the earth, that's the opposite. You can eat the dog, can't eat the pig. Mm. So it's like, that's two different viewpoints, and you're growing up, you're going to meet somewhere and realize that you're fighting. There's two fighting ideals there.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's very interesting.
And I wonder how that affects.
Because like we see social media influencers all the time posting videos of dogs being killed.
Yeah.
But then you go over there and dogs are infesting the streets, and the only way they can do that is to kill them. And they're throwing them in like boiling pots. Like it's disgusting. But they don't think anything of it.
I have to raise a red flag for one belief. Maybe it's a little cynical, or maybe I'm a little too like realism here, but you've said it twice now that humans look at animals as lesser than them.
Yep, yep.
Like, yo, when I see a squirrel outside, I'm sorry, I am superior to that squirrel.
In what way?
Do you believe that or no?
Well, in what way?
My life is more valuable than the squirrel's life. Do you believe that?
I believe to you it is. I believe to the squirrel's life is more valuable.
True. The squirrel, though, did not found a civilization.
Neither did you.
I'm a human. Humankind.
You didn't do that shit though.
I did not do my ancestors did. And their ancestors did.
And they do cool shit too. But okay, so you are definitely superior in many ways. The reason why humans have got to this point in civilization isn't because we have a super special brain or something like that. It's because we have a sophisticated voice box that's given us the ability to create a complicated language, which we've used to share information and build and build and build and build on that over many, many, many years.
But don't you think that has to do with having a super special brain?
No, actually. I think it's just got to do mostly with our ability to share information and grow on that. Like if I put some humans out in, you know, the wilderness somewhere, they're not going to be popping out iPhones, man. And they're going to be just like every other animal.
If you gave them 2,000 years, yes, they would.
What about opposable thumbs?
But without the voice box, potentially not, man. And regardless. So let's just say that you are superior to the squirrel. Do I believe you're superior to the squirrel? I'll say again, in many ways, yes. I'll tell you what I see when I see a squirrel out there. I'm like, whoa, look at that little person. I say person, that's basically how I see it, but I'll be a bit more specific because I know people will maybe find that strange. A non-human person, but a little person with a family, with friends, with a community, with ways of communicating, with a home. They eat, they breathe, they sleep, they feel pain, they suffer. That's right, man. They're trying to get a nut too.
Fucking nut.
No doubt.
We share something in common.
We got it all, man. They're our fam too, bro. They're our extended fam. They're our cousins in feather, scales, wings, and fur. I see them as part of the fam. And I didn't see that before. I just was like, I didn't give a shit about them. I didn't think twice about them. They're out there having fun. They're out there having stress.
That's mad fucking noble. But I hope if there was ever a scenario where someone held me and a squirrel hostage and he said, I'm going to kill one of these people, you say, please kill the squirrel instead of Logan.
Logan, I would do that for you, man.
Thanks,
but let
guy.
Me tell you why. Let me tell you why.
Because you had him on your podcast. Damn and right. It's the number one podcast in the world. That's the reason why.
Let me tell you, man. It's because I understand your experience more. And so I
will. Well, I'm a human, man. You're a human. Any human has experienced more. Yeah,
well, you know, we're all animals, though. We all are animals.
Yeah.
You're a human animal. That's a squirrel animal. We're all animals. Yeah. So let's see it from a bigger picture here. If we had a squirrel and Hitler, I'm saving the squirrel. I'm not always going to save the human.
Damn.
Yeah, it's still a preference.
Yeah, that squirrel's lit.
Yeah, that squirrel's killing a
guy. What about people?
Okay. I think that's a good point. It's all perspective.
Of course.
You know, if we're in an ocean and there's a great white swimming around, I'm throwing that spear at it. I'm saving my boy.
Fuck yeah,
me too. But, you know, to kill 700 million a year for soup, you know, and not all of that's for soup, obviously, but a lot of it is. It's like, damn, bro, as a civilization, there is a disconnect there. There's no denying that.
Yeah, let's just have the other soup with the mushrooms instead of the shark. Yeah.
What about people that say that there's a certain amount of killing of animals that needs to take place to raise soy or to raise other vegetables that are needed to sustain a plant-based? Like, where do you draw the line? Like, what if Joe Rogan said that?
Yeah.
I don't even want to say his name, but Ted Nugent had some things to say about it. But like,
a little
what bias. What if a small group of really cute non-person squirrels, non-person humans, are trying to eat your corn? And if they eat your corn, you die.
Yeah,
then
of
what?
Course.
Then
well, what? You, self-defense is a perfectly reasonable response, and you obviously do whatever you can do by causing the least amount of harm as practically possible. That's all veganism is. It's not perfection. There's no way to be perfect. We're going to cause some harm. I'm killing animals too. I probably stepped on ants on my way here. The food that I get, the food production, the way it is right now, animals are killed in crops. It's a very small amount comparatively. And also, like you mentioned, soy, for example, I think it's about 80% of the world's soy is fed to fatten up animals. So what we're doing is we're growing all this food. We're giving it to animals. We give them up to 15 times more food than what we can take from them. So we feed them. Then we get back this tiny little bit of food. So that means we're wasting a shitload of food and resources and land and everything else. We are having all these accidental crop deaths times 15, plus we're slaughtering the animals. So we can't be perfect. And I think what will happen is, you know, as plant-based, as a vegan ethic starts to take hold more and more and more, what we'll see is we're trying to figure that shit out too. I don't want crop deaths, man. Let's figure out some better machines so we're not killing these little mice and whatever. But until we have a better option, we do what veganism is. We cause the least amount of harm as practically possible. Now, no one's perfect, man. I got on a plane to be here. I know that that causes some environmental shit. I get in a car. I've got an iPhone. I do my best though, but by such a long way, easily the worst thing that any of us are contributing to in terms of suffering and in terms of environmental is consuming meat, dairy, or eggs by far. So I think the smartest thing to do is to look at, okay, what's the biggest thing we're contributing to and can we eliminate that? And that 100%, yes, we can. And then we go to the next thing. Okay, let's use some less plastic. Let's do this and that. But that, even plastic, that's a big fucking deal. But comparatively to meat, dairy, and eggs, consuming that shit, supporting that shit, creating a demand for that, doesn't even come close. That is by far the worst thing in regards to violence, suffering, environmental destruction, and also our own health shit.
What about, really quickly, where, what about the cheese and eggs? So the meat, that's a good question, and I think I know what your answer is, but I want to hear it. Like, I love, if you allowed us when we were in January, when we were going through that month, if you had allowed us to still have like a nice omelet with some cheese in it,
yep,
man, I probably would have been like, this is pretty good. Like, I could do bean omelets.
For I can lunch, do that forever.
You know what I'm saying? For lunch, we can do some eggs and shit like that.
Yeah.
And so now it's almost like you move into this like even grayer area. We don't want to eat meat because you're killing animals. Okay, so we stop that. But now we also don't want you to eat stuff that's produced with them. And so then it's like, all right, so not only do we not want to kill the animals, but we also don't really want to bother them because, like, you know, they should be just moving around having their grass and, like, just, like, you know, if they want to watch a flick, like, that kind of stuff. You know?
I thought the same thing for a long time. That's why I was vegetarian for a long time first. It's very clear to connect with meat that has been cut off an animal's body. You know they suffered. You know they died. Yeah. When it comes to eggs and dairy, the industries are at least as cruel. The dairy industry, for example, the cows, they don't just give milk naturally. You know, naturally, yes, but they don't just always give milk. Just like a human, they need to be pregnant or have recently given birth. For that to happen, for us to get this milk, they put them into a box, which is commonly referred to as a rape rack. A human will shove their arm deep inside the cow's anus to maneuver her cervix and inject her vagina with bull semen. And we know what we would call that if we had a human in there. So these animals, they obviously don't want that to happen. That's why they're stuck in this small box so that they can put this procedure on them. They kick, they bark, they don't want it. They have a 9-month pregnancy like a human. They give birth. When they give birth, the humans want to drink the milk. Obviously, they don't want the babies drinking it. So they separate the mothers from the babies, which I've seen in real time in a dairy in Israel. A guy brought a wheelbarrow in. He threw the baby in there. He wheeled the barrow out. The baby out, and this mother was hot on his heels, man, trying to chase. And she started bellowing and crying, which they often do for days, pointing in the same direction they last saw their baby. They're very maternal animals. The baby boys are seen as a waste product because they'll never produce milk. So they get sent to the slaughterhouse almost immediately. At the slaughterhouse, the most humane method is to put a bolt gun to their head. It fires a metal bolt through their skull into their brain that stuns them. And then they're either opened up, like their body, their neck is sort of opened up on a table, or they're hung upside down, and then they get stabbed in the throat. They move the knife around and they cut their throat open and they bleed out. That's the baby boys.
This is terrifying.
This fucked up, man. It doesn't get much worse than this shit. Then the sisters of those baby boys, when they're old enough, they're impregnated, and then they are also used as a milk slave. That's their entire life. For 5 to 7 years is as long as they can last. They hook them up to these machines. They take their milk. There's pus in this shit. There's all the hormones. There's all the cruelty. And then every year they repeat this process of re-impregnating them, taking their babies again. 5 to 7 years is all they can do.
Shit's fucked.
Then they fucking send them to the slaughterhouse. And these cows, man, they can live 20, 25 years. So they're just severely, you know, like used like machines, basically.
Yo.
Egg industry is just the same.
Yep.
Those little baby chicks, those little cute little yellow chicks, all the boys, They're sent into a machine called a macerator, which is like a blender. Mm-hmm. They drop off a conveyor belt into this machine that just literally shreds them to pieces. If you could imagine if it was you, that there was this big machine and you got dropped into it and it shred you into pieces, man. Like, that's what the fuck? Yeah, that is like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
You know, that's like horror movie shit. And that's how you get eggs. You buy the eggs. That's what happens. You shred little baby chicks. So for me to stop eating eggs, I started thinking, all right, if I'm going to eat eggs, I'm going to imagine throwing a little baby chick into a blender. I can't do that. I'll just have tofu scramble instead. It's got all the protein, tastes the same, super easy to make, cheaper, and none of the cholesterol and none of the baby chick shredding.
It sucks that you have to be so graphic and real to really understand what's happening, man. Because it's necessary.
It is, man. No, and you know 100%, what?
Because it's so easy to ignore it. It's so, but when you say what you're saying, I'm like,
Do you know what though, man? I fucking hate saying it. Because it doesn't even anywhere near do it justice. Like even if I show it to you. That doesn't do it justice either. Like, what we really need to do is imagine feeling it. And that's basically impossible to do because we're so privileged. We've never really suffered, most of us, in our lives. So even to try to connect and understand and have empathy for their suffering, it's on such another level that you don't even comprehend it at all, basically.
What if you are someone who can understand what these animals are going through? I mean, that's even a reach to even try to get close. But like, there's a lot of people in third world countries who are suffering, and again, not even close to what the animals that you're describing, what they're going through. But, you know, what are the vegan statistics in the middle of Africa, in the Philippines? Like,
is it
prominent there? Are they still?
I assume that it's less prominent. You know, the benefit of what we've got here is we've got the education. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these third world countries though are on a plant-based diet by default because it's just cheaper. But I don't know the statistics. I know the vegan movement sort of happening worldwide, you know, at a different level in different places. But
that's where the China study came from.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that they weren't studying like all vegans. They were just studying the majority of the diet, if I'm not mistaken. So like when you look at Okinawa, for example, they still eat seafood, but their average age that they live to is 100, like average.
Yeah.
So they're eating primarily like sweet potatoes and like a mix of vegetables. So I think there's certain areas though, like, you know, sub-Saharan areas where like they eat raw meat. They don't even cook the meat. And so I think you're able to get a lot more nutrients from eating raw meat than you are it being processed in a factory.
I think that it does help to have had an experience of suffering, which most of us have. You know, like for example, it's much easier for mothers I've found to relate to dairy cows because they know what mastitis feels like, which is the painful udder infection that cows get. You know, human women can get that as well. And they imagine what it would be like to have their baby taken from them and to have this process go. That's actually a short documentary called The Herd, which is basically that whole concept of humans being used for their milk. And that's always a good way to think of it. Like, what if it was humans in this situation? How would I feel about it? That helps me a lot to sort of navigate through, you know, trying to make good choices.
It seems extreme. Like when you were saying that at first, it sounds extreme, but then, you know, I try to like take myself back to if I was living like just, you know, 80 years ago during the Holocaust, like, and I knew that that was going on, I'd be like, yo, like, let's go over there and like end this shit.
I was going to go one place, but on that note, it's harder for me, at least, I don't know about you, to put those in the same category because obviously you're talking about literally people that are, and like obviously this is not a superiority thing.
That's why I sort of raised a red flag on that one thing because like.
But let me ask this question then because this is what it comes down to. You said it's not a superiority thing. So tell me then, what is the characteristic that humans do or do not possess, or animals do or not possess? What do you think is so different about us that makes it one of them so much less bad than the other?
I don't think it's less bad. And listen, like, let me clarify. Like, I think we, for me personally, my movement is to push myself to use people who at least support humane practices. Mm-hmm. Hope. And I know hope and prayers aren't the only answer sometimes, but hope that we as a society continue to move towards more humane practices while simultaneously doing better on the research side. I don't think your solve here is going to be through some massive change in human consciousness. it ain't coming. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, dude, but we're struggling just to get people to not rape and kill out there. And so
not really
maybe, but let me finish that point. Maybe you're right. Not, and obviously not everybody's doing that, but there's still a lot
that's
of
the difference.
There's still a lot of shit going on out there. That's what I'm getting.
Of course.
Right.
There is. Fuck yeah.
So I think that it simultaneously, you have these two things. You have research and better non-meat products, you know, happening at the same time as this other thing. And I think that's where we get there. I just don't know that you'll ever see this like true consciousness shift.
It'll be many different ways up the mountain. And I'm working with all of them, you know, because they all, whatever helps. But you said people are still raping and murdering. They are, man, but you're not. And neither are you, bro. And most people are not. They already agree that shit is fucked. Oh, and we don't want that in our society. Most people are paying for animals to be raped. They're paying for animals to be murdered. Almost everybody's paying for that. So that's one thing that we could easily just be like, oh, you know what we could eliminate? A fucking shitload of animal rape and animal murder like that if we all just did what vegans are already doing, which really isn't very hard. Yeah. I got one more quote I wanted to say based on what you just said. It is Captain Paul Watson of Sea Shepherd. And he said, if something like this, he said, if you want to know where you would have stood during the civil rights movement, you know, on slavery, don't ask yourself where you stand on slavery today. Ask yourself where you stand on the animal rights movement.
That's fucked up, dude. You can't say that.
By the way, that dude is the man. I've spent quite a bit of time with him. He is fucking incredible and one of the biggest animal rights activists in the world. Like absolutely incredible. Like he goes and actually hunts people who hunt animals.
Yeah,
like
that's tight. I would love to do that. We talked about that with
that shit.
What I would love to hunt poachers,
dude. We should link up with him potentially. Have you heard of this guy?
He's the one with the
Japanese people and the Chinese people that illegally whale. Like they kill whales.
The
sea shepherd.
He'll
is
go
the guy
board who, their boat yeah. and literally like shut them down. Bro,
that's
intense. Mind blowing.
That's awesome. Yo, see, that's the shit I was built for. I was built for that. Bro.
They kill the whales and then dump them back into the ocean.
That's
after.
Awesome.
Yeah,
it is cool.
But I cannot say how much I disagree with that comparison. That the quote that got us to talk.
Well,
about
again, it's because of your own discrimination. So I just ask you again, man, and tell me if you can answer this question.
Okay.
What is it? What is it about other species that you view as so less?
I didn't answer.
Yeah, like if you got an answer, I'd love to hear it.
My answer is the depth of the human mind.
Okay.
That would be my answer.
So what do you mean by that?
The ability to dig deep down, find solutions to problems that we as a society face.
Let me help you.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Because yes, you're right, but it goes deeper than that. And also like, it's even ridiculous to, I think, dive into this because it's very obvious the human brain is unparalleled when it comes to any form of species on planet Earth.
In what way, brother? And what about the humans who don't have that? What about the humans who don't have that ability? Do we think, okay, well, you're not as smart as us. You can't create this shit, this technology or whatever. So you're good. You're fair game. We don't do that. It's just purely based on, no, they're part of the human species. And that's what I'm talking about. It's a form of discrimination. It's called speciesism. You're saying just because if it was that trait that you just said, if it was, no, it's because we have this depth of mind. Not all humans have that. No, it's because we're more intelligent. Not all humans are that intelligent. So it's not those things. When you come down to it, it's because we're human. And just because we're human or just because we're white or just because we're men, they're not good justifications for viewing yourself as, you know, as more superior than others. Now, we are superior in some ways, but the core of it, I'm not saying are we smarter in some ways, and some animals are smarter than some humans.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is there must be a fucking important trait.
There's four.
Okay, they must be good then, because what we're talking about is condoning throat slitting, and we're talking about condoning.
No. See, that's where I'm gonna have to. I highly disagree.
Okay,
there.
Tell me.
Like while that comparison, in a way, is truthful, I do believe it is a bit of a cynical leap to go from there to there.
Well, that's how every animal product gets on your plate.
Yes, and I hear you.
Okay.
What are your characteristics?
The graphic scare tactic is it gets old.
I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to help you connect, man. Like, that's what every animal product you have, that's literally what happened. I don't, you know,
well,
I'm
not
just
say every, because there is responsible do we eat honey that goes on.
Do we eat honey?
No.
Why? Is honey vegan?
Nah, animal products.
These two vegans eat honey.
Okay, so we can talk about that later.
Oh shit, you guys
you
are
got
in
trouble, man. Bad vegans. I think, man, that you know, I don't like to say throat slitting so much, but I guess the reason I do that is because you can't have meat without it, or electrocuting or whatever. You can't have dairy from the shop or eggs from the shop without the violence. So, you know, all right, I won't say throat slitting no more if that.
No, it doesn't bother me. I just like, I think it's a way to pull on people's emotions for a.
I'm really not trying to do that. I'm really trying to just remind you that, hey, you know how bad throat slitting is in our society? Why are we so quick to condone it for other species? And that's just my question that I keep coming back to. What is it about humans? What is it about us? What trait do we possess that is so much more special than other animals? You're saying it's depth of perception and awareness.
And all the ancillary,
well, if you think about it,
ancillary subjects that come along with that. Like you said, voice box, the ability
to speak too.
No, I understand that. Yep. But listen, at the end of the day, you don't have to go too far to pull my strings. I have a lot of feelings and I hate it. And I think I will continue to turn a blind eye to it. And that's just how I'll continue to live on.
Maybe.
Because I like eating steak. We'll see. Right.
Yeah.
But back to my biggest point is that I think we just need to continue the research. And like there have been tons of other species rights and human rights mm-hmm. violations over the course of the past several thousand years that have been solved through research. Some have been solved through conscious shifts, but a lot of them have been solved sure. through research or a combination of
okay,
both.
Sure.
And I think the solve for this is when we're able to put something on someone's plate where they say, this is quite literally sure. as good as what I would have had
absolutely.
as if this animal's throat got slit.
On a mass
scale.
And readily available.
But we don't have to wait for that. You don't have to wait for that. And you also, one other point, you don't have to agree that we are equal. And I'm just saying on some level, we're not equal on every level. I'm just saying our right to live our lives free from exploitation.
Plus there's certain animals that are far more advanced than us.
Like dolphins, for example, in certain ways.
But, you can communicate.
Some people eat dolphins.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
Like,
and some people eat humans. Some people eat humans
for
too.
For sure. And I think like as we continue to go on, I think maybe it pains me to say it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but I think they may just be a little bit ahead of the curve.
Of course.
And I hate
why does that pain you to say that?
I don't know.
I hate
being there, but whatever. That kind of is what it is. And
yeah.
Well, I think once
it's coming
you put
fast.
Once you put a ribeye on my plate yep. that I can cut into and maybe they've fashioned it so it bleeds a little and it's grown in a lab, whatever, I will hunt every motherfucker that ever slits the throat of a cow for the rest of my life after that.
Do that together.
Okay, like straight up. But like as of right now, well, even the substitutes, they're getting there. I told you.
I agree with you, bro. You are a better person than me right now. Like,
I want to go back
in some ways.
Real quick too, like on that note, like, because I think that is a common misconception with people who are vegan is like they want to come off as better. I definitely don't agree with you with that because
who said that they want to come off as better?
No,
some
he's
vegans
speaking
feel
for
that.
Some,
no, you, yeah. I mean you just said like you're a better person than me.
I think that's true because of
I'm just saying that a lot of people think on the other note that we're coming across as trying to be better and it's not that. It's like you're maybe more aware of exactly. certain things of health. But you're more aware of things from a creative standpoint, maybe just as a comparison. Okay. So that doesn't make me better. That doesn't make you better. It's more like each person has a different thing that they can bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And so I think like vegans as a community have something new to bring to the table, quite literally. Mm. And there's also freaking annoying vegans like
fuck
PETA.
Yeah.
So totally. I think like
they
there's
do some good shit. Though.
Yeah.
But yeah, they also can be annoying as fuck.
So yeah.
Earlier you said, well, first of all, let me just touch on that point. I definitely don't think I'm better than anybody. That's exactly why I'm vegan. You know, I don't feel that way at all. I feel that I feel very, very grateful to have learned some information that enabled me to make choices that cause far, far less harm. That makes me feel very, very good. And I don't want this to be an exclusive club. Like, nah, we want to be better than everybody. No, the total opposite. I want everybody part of this crew, man, because I want all this. I want these slaughterhouses closed down forever. Yeah. Earlier you said, you made a joke, man. It was just a joke though, but something about you. No, it was chill. It's something about you being me seeing you as an asshole or whatever. And I just don't, like, not at all. You know,
No.
Just as a joke, though.
I said you're making me feel like an asshole.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm just saying, you know, when you go as graphic as you do, and which I said also, is necessary.
Yeah,
it does make people go, oh, shit, am I doing the right thing? In fact, that's I believe you iterated why you even started to consider being a vegetarian or going vegan, because you saw the documentaries, involved, because you saw the graphic, the images were placed in your mind where you were forced to go to a place of veganism.
Yeah. I guess what I was just trying to say though is that, you know, I don't judge anybody, man. Like, we're all on our own path, and you can't help the information you've got. You can't help the level of empathy you've got. Mine's grown a lot. Like, we're all growing. We're all trying to lift each other up and be better.
I have a question for you two, just out of curiosity, like genuine curiosity. Do you think that we should show or educate kids in school where meat really comes from and like how it's made, like how their lunch is put on their plate? Do you think that would be?
Absolutely. I don't think.
Like, do you remember ever watching a video?
No, never.
I didn't. Nah. I don't think I really found out until I was in my 20s.
I don't think there should be a sprinkle of macro thought. I don't think there should be a sprinkle of knowledge that is not available for people to absorb. You know what I'm saying? Including meat. Like, the more people know, the better. I think the better the world's going to be. And I think, you know, if I was raised differently, sure, maybe I'd be vegan right now, but I was never, shown that, you know? And also, like, try shit. That's why, like, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm kind of contesting you because I know like a lot of people are iffy about veganism. Try everything once. Yeah, like, go for it. See if it works for you. It's fucking dope. It's great for a lot of people. It's changed a lot of fucking lives. It's sick. Yeah. I'm going to go back. I said it. I'm going to go back.
Yeah.
I was just iterating my experiences, you know.
Yeah. One of the things that I thought was really crazy. My mom was a nurse forever. And my dad's super involved in medical devices. And I've talked to a bunch of people in the medical space that as soon as they open someone's chest or they open their heart for like heart surgery, they can tell if that person eats meat or doesn't because of the arteries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like you pulled up, you know, we were talking earlier, you pulled up Rockefeller. Mm-hmm. He had 6 heart transplants.
Holy shit.
He had 6 different hearts?
Yeah.
That's crazy. He lived till he was 101.
So ran through 6 hearts. I mean, that's something like the average person can't afford to live. Yeah.
I think you're gonna find exceptions, and I think you're gonna, my grandfather died at 96 years old or whatever, and he ate bacon and eggs every single day with his friends.
Yep.
And
so happens to smokers too.
It does, and I think. And by the way,
it's genetics. A lot of it comes down to that. And some people, their genes have been like they're stronger. They can handle things. And some people are susceptible to certain things.
What were you going to say about educating kids on where meat comes from?
No, I wasn't. My only point on that one was just like it's sometimes I think about like where the line gets drawn with that stuff. Like, do you show kids where the floor came from? It's made of wood. Do you know what I'm saying? And is there going to be an outrage over the fact that we're cutting down trees?
No, because the floor won't affect the future of humankind. If we started consuming differently.
It will if we keep cutting down trees for floors. Do you know what I'm saying?
For wooden floors, sure. Yeah.
But for wooden walls and roofs. But don't say, like that's a massive problem. The cutting down of our trees for
deforestation,
paper,
massive problem. Yeah.
Massive problem.
Yes.
Right. And so it's like, where do you draw the line? Do you show them that?
Yes, you do. You show them deforestation.
And then they just make decisions for themselves, which I agree with.
Which is really cool about, like, I don't want to give it away, but what we're all about to talk about this week about like different stuff that we can do to contribute to the planet and what we can do with our voices now, you know, you compare that to when we were kids, there was just a few channels that you're watching. There was no internet. Like that wasn't a thing. And as soon as that kind of came to be, now all these other people have voices. Now all these people can talk about stuff. So that's why I really support what you're doing, because yeah, it's uncomfortable as hell. And yeah, it gets a lot of flack, but at the same time, we're using this platform that we have to communicate. So
sure,
the access to knowledge is so vast now. And I want to be a part of spreading that, which is what you said. We got a big meeting coming up this week, guys. We're going to do some good things for this planet. God damn it.
And on that note too, I think one thing that, you know, in terms of being plant-based, when I look at people, it goes beyond all the ethics and all this stuff. I think another point is too, like, we live in a very scarcity mindset nowadays, like where you see like Trump as our president, he's promoting jobs. Like jobs is always the thing. So in order to have more jobs, we got to have coal, you know, we got to destroy the environment more. And I think like when you think about veganism or plant-based, it opens up so many opportunities, because now you look at a McDonald's, like if you want to start a fast food company in Michigan or Ohio, where we're from, you're going to get run out because there's 50 other ones. But say you find a location, a bigger city that's maybe a little more open, and you open something that's plant-based, there's a huge opportunity there.
Shout out, there's a shift happening.
Exactly. Veggie Grill just set up.
Veggie Grill.
We set up two in Chicago. We get Veggie Grill sometimes, and this is how I know that we're closing in on good turf here. Sometimes we just get Veggie Grill because we legit want Veggie Grill.
What do you mean? Yeah. I always want Veggie Grill.
Like, it's not even because we have to eat.
Shout out Veggie Grill.
Like, I'm like, y'all want a Buffalo Bomber. I want the Buffalo Chillin' Wings or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Like, because it's really good shit. And I
good to hear, man.
I think we're moving in that direction, I guess.
Yo. Speaking of Veggie Grill, I want to bring this up before we go to an audio only.
Oh, I thought you were saying go to Veggie Grill.
Go to Veggie Grill.
I do.
You could do that too.
You've seen this, bro. Big vegan YouTuber is leaving veganism after he broke down and ate raw eggs after a 35-day water fast.
Yeah.
You saw this.
Of course I saw it.
Can I read one of the sentences?
You have to. Not that one, please.
You know what I'm going to read, bro.
Oh, shit.
All right. So he decided to try animal products. He ate local raw eggs and wild-caught salmon. He called the move a huge identity crisis, but he admitted he felt better. He even said, another quote here, after eating salmon, he ejaculated for the first time in months.
What the hell was this guy eating before? Holy shit. He did a 35-day water fast.
There's a part where he says he couldn't do any push. I couldn't do push-ups without getting injured.
What?
This guy?
What?
I know him, yeah.
That dude? Thank God we didn't hang out with him.
Oh, he came to the fight?
Really?
Is he British?
He is.
Is he a nut?
Well,
pretty nutty. I
mean, he ejaculated
jizz in 35 days. Like, dog, what are you doing? That's not about being vegan.
I know Tim, and I really like this guy, man. You know, when I knew him, I thought he was a very cool guy. He's done a lot for veganism. He won Ninja Warrior on a plant-based diet. He's one of the world's best free runners.
Oh shit!
Yeah, all on a plant-based diet. I think he, you know, my own personal opinion of this guy is he's striving for a level of perfection that doesn't exist, and he's always trying new things. He did a 35-day water fast. He drank his own piss for 2 years.
Oh, he's one of the piss drinkers. We've talked about this.
Does that disqualify you if you're a piss drinker?
I think anything you say is
it's extreme.
Yeah, it's extreme. It should be questioned.
Just sipping my glass of piss right now.
So weird.
I shouldn't be on the podcast.
It's not that. It's just like, nah, yeah, you're right. Get the fuck off.
So I think, look, man, he's one of, I don't know what it is with him. I think who knows where his mental health is at or whatever, or what these extreme diets have done for him. And, you know, he felt better after eating whatever he ate, eggs or salmon or some shit.
If I go vegan again and I can't finish, dude, I'm going to be really mad at you, bro.
Hey, I got a good statistic for you, man. Oh, shit. Now, you should try to get up because I don't want to get the numbers wrong. Right. But look up vegan versus omni erectile dysfunction.
Omni erectile dysfunction.
Versus vegan.
I'm going to make that my kid's middle name.
I think it's two words.
Better. Like better, omnivore. Honestly, let's talk about this. Like vegan boners.
Vegan. Let's talk about it.
They're better, dude.
What do you mean they're better?
They're better.
Plant-based boners,
man.
It's a real thing, dude. Like you can laugh. You can think I'm joking. It's a real thing.
Also, when you're eating that good food and not that rotting flesh, things taste a little different.
Hold up. You're not about to tell me your vegan boner is better than mine. I know you're not going to tell me that.
I might not go there, but it's... Vegan boners are good, bro.
What's so dope about it, guy?
Like, I never struggled with ED.
Bro, you're fucking 12.
Exactly.
12 years old.
I mean, hold
exactly.
on a second. Let's
no, 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 no. Let's cut back to the root. But, boners are all about blood flow. So let's
exactly.
go to, let's
and that's
go.
What it is.
Exactly. Exactly. That's
what it is.
That's
now
what
he's talking
about
language.
That's what I was going to get at.
Finally, I knew I'd find something.
I get it.
Too.
Like the ability to just go full send. It just happens, bro. It happens more
Spencer's
frequently.
Spencer's a fucking flagpole over here, bro. Dude just a walking around with a boner all day. Are you,
no. Oh my God, that
no,
makes
that's
so
not
much
true.
Sense.
That's not true.
He's got a corn husk as a...
Yeah, I don't know the statistics, man, but
no,
I just,
no, it's
I
right
just
here,
know.
Bro.
Oh, you got it?
Vegetables are the best way to not only prevent ED, but the heart disease.
Yeah, yeah.
This, so, I mean, there's a lot of stats in this paragraph here. But
cool. Well,
it's a lot of numbers.
People can look that shit up, but basically you... Stay hard longer, more years if you're eating a plant-based diet.
Damn.
I know. But no, you're going back there anyway. It's all good.
So like, it's lit if you want to live to 150 LP, but do you want to get boners at 150?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Cool.
That's what I'm saying, dog.
My boners
That's
are what?
People like the mentality of like dudes saying like you're weak if you're vegan. It's like, bro, let's talk when we're 80.
Let's
see if you can
boners.
Get a boner. Let's talk boners.
Well, I mean, technically anybody can get a boner at 80 nowadays. You just gotta pop a pill.
Okay,
and, you know, 120.
Let's talk boners.
No, literally any age. You just take a pill and you got a fucking boner. That's nothing nowadays.
That's true. Like a real boner, no pills.
Question for you, because Australia, right?
Yeah.
Obviously. Speaking of boners, have you ever been scared that you might fall off the side of the flat earth?
Because
you are,
because you guys would bring this
it's
up.
It's just end of the podcast. I got to ask because you're right fucking
yeah,
there.
Am
now.
I?
Yeah.
I've never worried about it before. I've never swam out that far. Mm. How far a swim is it?
Something to think about.
Yeah, something to think about.
I'll keep it in mind. We can talk about it more later.
Hey, listen, I want to do I want to go to an audio only Q&A.
All right.
I want to ask you a little bit about PETA.
Yeah.
And Steve Irwin.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
We can't do this on video.
It's going to be a juicy conversation. Okay, we're going to do it in the audio only Q&A. Yo, James, thank you for joining us, bro, for reals, and educating about us about your vegan life.
My pleasure, man. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate being able to talk about this. Thank you.
Of course, dude. Where can they find you on social?
At James Aspie on Instagram, James Aspie on Facebook, James and Carly on YouTube.
Fucking incredible. And how do you say that without using words?
Like, that's when I get my pen and paper out, man.
Okay, yo, we love you guys. Hit that subscribe button. We're going to audio only, iTunes, Spotify. Right now, we're going to get juicy. I love you guys. Leave your feedback below. Take it easy. Peace.
Stay there. Don't move.
Yo, the amount of soy boy comments in this one.
Ooh.
Gonna be big.
Spicy. You get called soy boy a lot?
Not enough, man.
Wait.
Not enough.
That's dope to me.
Yeah.
I'm proud, soy boy.
I like
man.
It. Me too.
I think it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I got a little surprise on the way.
Oh, shit.
When
soy
you
boy's
say
cool
that,
to me.
When you say you got a little surprise on the way after
talking
you tell
about
me about
boner.
Your plant-based boners,
I get really, to.
I get really worried about what that might mean.
Hey, I want to ask you about this PETA Steve Irwin thing, but first.
Uh-huh.
Can I ask you a series of questions about you?
Yeah, bro, for sure.
All right.
Nothing off limits.
What age were you... vegetarian. When'd you start that?
Started that 26. 26, man, yeah.
And then when'd you go to veganism?
A year later. Just over a year later.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Took a while. This is sensitive. Mm. And I don't want to
it's all good. Go
ruff
for
any
it.
Feathers. Were you ever a drug addict or an alcoholic or a sex addict? Or were you struggling from any sort of large, I need to turn my life around now sort of...
I had some big turnarounds, brother. Yeah, I had a big turnaround. I was diagnosed with cancer when I was 17. That was some heavy shit. For 3 years, I was on chemotherapy. I was given 6 weeks to live if I didn't start the treatment they were recommending. But that all worked out. I've only got a few scars to show for it, thankfully. That during that time, I was in the hospital. I was eating Big Mac burgers. I was on this dose of steroids, prednisolone. That was so high, I couldn't sleep more than 2 hours a night for over a month. I was just eating. That's all I wanted to do. And there was no satiating my appetite. I put on about 50 pounds so quick, man, that my skin ripped and bled on my sides. I got big stretch marks there. Yeah, real quick. And that got me into binge eating. I was eating for emotional reasons. I didn't know I was an emotional eater. I didn't even know what emotional eating was. Over time, this binge eating, this insatiable, trying to like just get food in because of the good feeling. And as soon, it's like Coke, man. As soon as it wears off, that good feeling, you just want more. So that's what I was like with binge eating. I'd eat food. As soon as I'd swallowed that last bite, I needed more. There was no satiating that feeling because food is to satisfy hunger, not to satisfy happiness or any of this other shit. So that led to bulimia. Not the bulimia that I think a lot of people suffer from, where it's some sort of body dysmorphia. For me, it was just I wanted to eat so much food that I would get to the point where I would spew so I'd feel better because I was eating so much that I'd feel like absolute shit. And during this time as well, when I had cancer and I was on this chemotherapy and shit, they told me I was, you know, maybe I was going to die, very good chance I was going to die, and that I wasn't allowed to drink or anything like this. So I just started taking heaps of pills, heaps of eckies, heaps of speed and a fair bit of coke, smoking weed all day, every day, and just fucking going hard, man, because I thought I was going to die. This became something that I did get a really good handle of. When I turned 23, I was just, it was never like a fucking bad, like cracky or nothing. You know, I was in control of it. I was still keeping a job and I was fine, but I was also very into taking a lot of drugs, like really pushing my limits. And sometimes then some. I had a drug-induced psychosis when I was 21. That happened in Canada. I had way too much. And for about 6 months, I had lost my grip of reality.
What did you take too much of? Was it coke? And
I was having, or? I think the problem was two things. One was that I had my first acid trip after 4 days of having mushrooms sporadically throughout the days, which I hadn't had much of at that time. And then I also was reading this very spiritual book, the first spiritual book I'd ever read, called A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. He's read that? Mm. Fucking good book, man. I've read it many times since. Anyway, and this basically, he's teaching this technique, observe the sensation in your body. Every time you notice that you're thinking, come out of your thoughts into your body. And that's creating a lot of power because we're often thinking about the future. We're often thinking about the past. So I started getting a lot of power from this technique. But this technique was polluted by the amount of drugs I had been on around this time. And so I had this drug-induced psychosis. I had to really work to get my shit together. And, you know, I'd been telling myself some stories that weren't true, that I thought were legit. But also there was some shit I can't explain about being connected to the universe in a very interesting way. And, you know, that's a whole nother podcast, man. But yeah, it was a crazy, crazy trip. Anyway, so after that, you know, at some point the bulimia got real bad, where I was some days I was binging and purging 5 times a day, maybe even more. Yeah. And from what I remember, that was probably a lot of the days. I just always wanted to
binge. What was your poison?
Fuck, ice cream.
Yeah, really?
It's so easy to vomit back.
Mine was anything, because oddly enough, and I'm not even going to do 30 seconds this time because we've talked about it in the past, but I had a really severe drug addiction for eight to 10 years. No, it's not. But then I also formed, in a way, when I got clean, a bit of a binge eating situation as
totally,
well.
Totally.
Because it was like almost like I replaced this addiction.
Exactly.
My thing was hash browns and like French fries and shit. Like, right. I love fucking like fried potatoes, bro.
Yeah, and I used to just go nuts. Yeah. Get that salt on there.
Yeah.
Man, well, yeah, you said it spot on. So for so long when I'm trying to cure myself for this fucking bulimia, which I couldn't, I was like, how did I get to this point? I'm a personal trainer. I've been personal training for like 7 years at this point. How did I get here? How am I trying to teach people how to be healthy and live a good life when I don't even have my food anywhere near under control? I'm so out of control with this shit. I'm looking into sugar addiction and I'm looking into all this shit. And I didn't know what was my problem until I did this Vipassana meditation course, 10-day silent meditation. You meditate 11 hours for 10 days. And that's where I really went deep. And I learned this technique about sitting with uncomfortable sensations rather than reacting to them, which is all I do. I get a craving for food and boom, I'm there reacting straight up. I would never be like, okay, if I sit with this, eventually it will pass. And the next time I get this craving, it'll be a less strong and I'm a bit more strong. I didn't know the ticket out of there, man. And then I read this book after that meditation that like worked perfectly with it, called End Emotional Eating by Dr. Jennifer Tates. I read the back of this. I was like, this is fucking me. This is my key right here. And I read the book and that was it. So then I just practiced the technique. I wasn't perfect straight away. But then the day I started my vow of silence, which was also the day that I went vegan, was also the day I said, from this day on, I'm never binging and purging again. That was 5 and a bit years ago now. And I remember just in the same week that I said that, I was traveling, doing my vow of silence around Australia. And I was like, fuck it, I'm binging. So I ate a tub of ice cream, vegan ice cream, and half a tub of peanut butter. And I'm sitting there, and this is the easiest thing to get back up. So that's all I wanted to do. But I'm sitting there, I'm like, nah, if I do that, then I'm just back in this cycle. What, you know, that vow I made myself of never binging and purging again means nothing. So nah, I'm not doing it. And you're just going to sit with this no matter how shit you feel. Too bad you chose it. You're going to sit with this shit now. Where before I'd feel shit and I'd go, ah, I just spilled up. I'll feel good again. Anyway, and then the next morning I woke up. I was like, well, I still feel shit, but cool. Next time when I had a binge, however long later, a week, 2 weeks, whatever it was, I was like 90% into my binge. And I'm like, shit, I'm not going to spew this up, man. Maybe I should stop now, because if I 10% more, it's just going to make me 10% more shit. And I'm not going to be satisfied from that 10% anyway. So I stopped a little bit sooner. And then I stopped a little bit sooner next time. And over time, I get these, oh, fuck, man, I've got the best relationship with food now, the one I always dreamed of, where I eat when I'm hungry, I'll stop when I'm full. Sometimes I treat myself to pizza or cake or whatever, but often I'm just like, nah, I'm good. I'd rather just eat the good shit.
It's awesome.
I got there, man.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and anybody can get there. It's just a path. It's a technique, man, of learning how to sit with uncomfortable sensations, realizing that you're eating for emotional reasons, and go, when you got these cravings, you let it sit, you let it be. It's going to pass. It's always impermanent. When it passes and you didn't satisfy that craving by going to your drug, whether it's food or whatever drug, when you just let it pass, nature take care of it, then you're stronger and you know the next time it's going to pass too. It might be 5 minutes, might be an hour, but it's going to pass. Sit with it. Sit with that uncomfort until you get comfortable to the point where those cravings don't mean shit to you. They don't even faze you anymore.
Damn. Good for you, man.
Thanks, bro. And with the drugs, I just got to a point where I realized, same time in the vow of silence, I was like, you know what? I need to let all this shit go. I want to see how bright I can shine without it. I'm sick of putting this extra energy into me. I want to see what happens if I meditate 2 hours a day. I want to see where I can take it, where I can take me. And, you know, that's what I did, man. And, you know, I'll be like, I did that for 5 years. I didn't even have a coffee, nothing. And there's been a couple of times since where I've just seen if I could go back there with any of the drugs that I once enjoyed. And I realized that, nah, I can't, you know, I'm better without it mostly. And so I just let it go, man. And I feel fucking heaps better. Like, you know, there'll be times, if I'm straight up, there'll be times where maybe I'll have a little bit of mushrooms here or there, something that I know I'm not going to abuse.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like that shit can be medicinal.
Yeah.
But, you know, done in the right setting with the right mind frame at the right dose, very carefully.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just abuse that shit. It can get really wild. But, you know, for me at least, I feel like there's some medicinal benefits to certain plant medicines. I'd never go back to coke or pills, and even weed. I know that shit is just like my kryptonite, so I don't go there.
Hmm. Interesting. I want to ask you about PETA.
Okay.
Are you on board? Are you on board for PETA? Are you on the PETA train?
Huge fan of all the good they've done. Nobody's perfect, man. I think they've done a lot of good shit at raising awareness for animals, probably more than anybody, any group. They've also got a lot of campaigns that I think are just totally crazy.
This thing they did with Steve Irwin, where they sort of disdained Google's use of Steve Irwin.
Yep.
You with it? I mean, what are your
thoughts? What did they say again?
Steve Irwin.
I think, you got it up?
Yeah, I'm actually going to, I don't want to misspeak here.
Cool. I just glanced at it, so I'm not that up on it, man. But I do remember having thoughts about it when I read it.
I mean, I'm sure it's right up your alley. Let's see what they said. The tweet was, hashtag Steve Irwin was killed while harassing a ray. He dangled his baby while feeding a crocodile and wrestled wild animals who were minding their own business. Today's hashtag Google Doodle sends us dangerous fawning message. Wild animals are entitled to be left alone in their natural habitats.
Well, I strongly agree with that last sentence. Wild animals, the best thing to do is to leave them alone in their natural habitats. I don't know what he was doing with that stingray, whether he was harassing it or it was just in the water with it. I don't know. I don't know about him dangling his baby, while he was feeding the crocodile or some shit. I don't know. What I do know is that if you don't need to keep animals in an enclosure like a zoo, and you're just basically imprisoning them and they've done nothing wrong, I'm against that. I'm against exploiting animals and, you know, manipulating their situations or whatever to be entertaining for humans. I don't think
that's good. We did yoga with goats today.
Cool.
What do you make of that?
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, it's, you know, you did yoga with goats. I think probably that was fine. You know, it's like doing yoga with dogs. It's probably fine. But also, did you call one of those, like, pet, what are they, fuck, pet, those
pedophiles?
No. They bring in the a petting zoo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you like call a petting zoo where even those animals, when they get too big, they get slaughtered too. Like if that's the sort of shit you're funding to get these animals here, I don't think that's good.
Nah, this lady, she referred to the goats as her kids multiple times.
They like meditate together with them.
At first I thought it was a joke.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, it's funny. They actually live in the bedroom and she lives in the barn. So actually, they keep her, yeah. They're actually holding her hostage.
Oh, shit.
We're going to send...
it goes both ways,
we're going to send Hida over there. It's the human rights organization to go get her out.
Yeah, just on that thing, man, like, you know, you said... She sees them like their kids. A lot of farmers say shit like, I treat them as good as I treat my children.
And then they kill them.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, I've seen these animals in the rape racks. You treat them like that's fucked.
My note on the PETA thing, it's like, okay, it's an opinion. At some point, it's an opinion to say what they said and tweet it. And I think it's like, yo, at some point, just shut up.
I think, though, what I do think about what they do controversial shit to get conversations happening, man, because a conversation can go a long way with people.
But I think I agree with you, which is, you know, a tactic that works. But also you have, think about how many people they just turned off from being interested 100%. In plant-based or anything coming from them.
Yeah.
Because they just demeaned like a childhood idol of yours. Yeah. So it's like,
not
yo,
very strategic.
No, it's
in a way, but ultimately,
I'd love to see that board meeting.
Got worse.
Oh my God.
I'm sure they had a lot of interesting board meetings.
Didn't you have somebody there just being like, yo, this is probably one of the dumber things we could do
right now.
This
is one of the bad ones.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's hard, man. Like you're trying to end some big shit here. Right. And, you know, by any means necessary, a lot of people would say. And if you were one of those individuals in that situation at a slaughterhouse, you would be saying, fuck yeah, PETA, say everything, do all the things, get us out of this.
Yeah, true. Have you seen How to Train Your Dragon 3 yet?
I seen the first one. I loved it, man. I thought that was a real vegan message,
incredible.
Actually. Great movie. Yeah, yeah. One of my favorites.
You should watch a second.
Yeah.
And then you should watch the third. The third just came out. It's in theaters.
All right.
And oddly enough, what you're saying is really resonates in How to Train Your Dragon 3. Who saw, you saw it with me, right? Yeah. Doesn't it?
Well, I don't give it away.
This is a spoiler alert. This is a spoiler alert.
Because I'm gonna.
If you're still listening right now,
I really want to say it.
But I can't believe it. Stop listening.
No, I'll say it without giving. Oh fuck! I can't
say
I can't.
It. Say it.
We'll just talk about the theme.
If you want to watch How to Train Your Dragon 3, I'm about to like spoil it. So, spoiler alert. In the end, bro, even though he loves his dragon, his dad taught him before his dad passed away. His dad taught him that the greatest gift that you can give is the gift of love. And the kid's dragon fell in love with a female dragon. I don't know if you remember the Night Fury. His dragon is one of one, or so he thought. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So this mate he found that was like, that's his girl, bro. That's it. That's his. That's gonna be his future and his kin. So he ends up letting his dragon go off to live and love with his mate in this sacred, safe dragon kingdom instead of harnessing him and using him as a pet to further his agenda as a Viking.
Wow.
And it is like he's letting the animal go live his life and putting his personal beliefs and wants aside.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it was cool.
You know what, man? I said the word noble, and I guess this is just another thing that I did want to mention, so I'm glad it came up again. You know, being vegan and doing the right thing by animals is not something special. It's not some hero shit. It's just the least we should do. Like, the least we should do is be vegan. That's the start. It's just about not causing unnecessary harm. Like, that's not like, whoa, vegans are so ethical. It's just like, no, we just stop paying people to kill them for us. That's pretty fucking standard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so, like, that guy, yeah, cool, man. I'm glad you had that realization about that dragon. You know, I'm glad he had that realization.
Here's why also I bring it up, because like it fucking affected me. I don't know why, but it was like it was one of the first times where I did look at like a civilization. Granted, the dragons are like hyper intelligent in the movie, but it was the first time I looked at a civilization of quote unquote animals as like, holy shit, they do have their own hierarchies. They fall in love. Yeah. They have families and they're going to go off and be
independent without us if we let them. And it was just, it was interesting. The movie.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Remember, we were watching the SeaWorld documentary, and it was like the killer whales, when they're taken from their family, the family knows, and they're sad and they're crying. That, and you're that pulling them out of the ocean.
And the dolphins at Taji, they don't leave their fam. So even though all the slaughter is happening, they stay and try to help for as long as possible. All these, they get, and that's what they prey on. That's what us humans, we prey on their loyalty to their family. They know they're going to be like, oh, fuck it. Every dolphin for themselves. They're like, no, our fam's here. Like we need to try to help each other.
Yeah. Mm. The Cove, that's that. I think that film, damn, that's crazy. Have you guys seen Cove?
I want to shout out a film. Definitely. Is that cool?
Shout out a film.
All right. Watch dominion.com. That is a new documentary that has come out in Australia. It is all undercover shit or hidden cameras or whatever. It's fresh footage for
what's it called?
Dominion.
Okay.
And you go to watch dominion.com. It's also on my YouTube channel.
Okay.
And you might never have seen, most people have never seen. I've spoken to people who are 80 years old, have never seen what happens to animals before they become that neatly wrapped package on the supermarket shelf. So if you want to just check it out, like I think we all owe them at least an hour and a half of our time to see what we're paying for when we eat these things.
I don't think people are worried about the hour and a half. I think they're worried about what they feel like for the next 10 years after watching it. You know what I'm saying? Like if I knew it was going to be an hour and a half and I would just watch it and turn it off, I don't want to watch it because I don't want to feel the thing. Like I'm too busy just turning my back on the situation, eating burgers because it tastes good.
But
did you think about stopping eating dragon after you saw How to Train a Dragon?
I will no longer eat
free range dragon.
Are you eating free range dragon?
All right,
cool.
That's it. That's all we got. Thank you again, James.
I really appreciate it, bro. Thank you so much for helping me spread this message.
For sure. We love you guys. We'll see you next time.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.